If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 12, 33, and Karen will be reading from that verse to verse 37.
Thank you, Gary. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 12. If you have one of these blue Bibles, it will be on page 793. The black one will be on page 1515. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. This is God's word.
Thanks, Karen. Good morning again, church. Just to let you know, in today's newsletter, we're experimenting with the outline of the sermon. So if you haven't received a physical copy of this, we have emailed it out online. But just to let you know, if you want to follow along today with the passage that we're looking at, you'll find the outline there. But before we get into the word of the Lord this morning, why don't we pray together and ask for our Lord's help in understanding these words. Father, we ask this morning that your word would be illuminated to us, that you would enlighten the eyes of our heart by the work of your Holy Spirit, that this morning our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that he would be centre in all we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I wonder if you would be able to finish this sentence for me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... Brilliant. A cute nursery rhyme indeed that reminds the little ones among us that words might be hurtful, but they shouldn't be the things that destroy us. But in saying that, do words matter? Do the things that we say with our mouths just disappear into the air, never to be thought of again? Or is there something more to say on the way that we speak? Well, in the passage that we have before us this morning, Jesus teaches us something profoundly sobering about the connection between our hearts and our words. He tells us that our words aren't just little vibrations that tickle each other's eardrums for better or worse, but are a reflection of what's going on inside, deep inside of our hearts. And that when we speak, we're actually revealing the condition of our hearts, for better or worse, healthy or unhealthy. And more than that, Jesus warns us that we will give an account of every word that we speak. Church, this passage challenges us to take a good look, a good hard look at our speech, our actions, and more importantly, our hearts. To put that as simply as I can, what we're hopefully going to see today is that our words actually say something about us. And in the end, they will either just justify or condemn us. Now, all of this has come off the back of the Pharisees verbally challenging Jesus on his very presence in Israel. And since these verbal challenges, starting in chapter 12, there's been a contrast of characters that have kind of come bubbling to the surface. A contrast between our righteous and holy Lord and that of the hard-hearted religious leaders of the day. In the first 14 verses, we saw an exchange about the Sabbath. And it was there that Jesus told the Pharisees that they just pay lip service to the command, taking the law to the extreme and making it a burden for the people. Whereas Jesus brings true and eternal rest for all those that come to him because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Again, in verses 15 to 21, in contrast to the character of the Pharisees who condemned and continually tore people down, we thought about the beautiful song of the servant and how Israel was to expect a compassionate and merciful Saviour whom Jesus clearly is, as revealed in all that he did and all that he said. And then last week in verses 22 to 32, we saw our Lord address the sin that will never be forgiven. And we saw this particularly in the context of the Pharisees that said with their mouths, they had an absolute rejection of the Holy Spirit's revelation of who Jesus is. Which brings us to the text that we have before us this morning. And it's here that I think our Lord shows us four things in relation to our hearts and our speech. Four things that we would do well to reflect on this morning. First, Jesus is going to give us a bit of a picture about a couple of trees and what fruit they bear, so we can kind of get our heads around just how important all of this really is. Second, he's going to again reveal the traits of hard-heartedness. Third, words matter, but so do our actions. And then finally, Jesus is going to tell us that we have to pay careful attention to all of this, because at the end of the day, it's all going to really matter. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, read with me just that first verse there, verse 33. These are the words of our Lord. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. Right, so straight off the bat, it's worth mentioning that Jesus is directly addressing the Pharisees here. But as he speaks to them, as he challenges them with this picture, we learn something of the character of Jesus as well. You see, in context, the Pharisees had been saying that Jesus was doing good things, like healing people, and though they couldn't deny those good deeds, they also added that he was essentially an evil person. You might remember that from last week. Jesus had healed a man, a great thing to happen indeed. But then these Pharisees said that Jesus was only able to do any of this because he was in cahoots with the devil himself, and thus deceiving the nation of Israel. And so it's here that our Lord brings attention to their rhetoric and says, either approve of me and my deeds or condemn me and my deeds, but don't say that I do good, but am evil at the same time. It doesn't make sense. That's the challenge of Jesus to the Pharisees here. He essentially says, don't say that I'm an evil man going about doing good things. Make up your minds. And you can do that by looking at my actions, because it will tell you something of my heart. That's why this picture here is so helpful to us. An apple tree doesn't produce pears. And a pear tree doesn't produce dragon fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying the way we evaluate the heart is by what it produces. And so with that in mind, if we think of our Lord Jesus here, from the get-go, from the very beginning of this gospel that Matthew has given to us, we've seen Jesus draw all manner of people into the kingdom of heaven by his deeds and his words. From the get-go, everything that Jesus has done has reflected something of the true nature of him being the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the servant of God. His words and deeds have reflected that every step of the way, he has been Emmanuel, God with us. That's been the fruit of the tree, so to speak. Now contrast that with the Pharisees. I mean, they acted like these great men of God, but they spoke wickedly towards the Son of God continually. They said one thing about how to obey Scripture, but haven't followed it themselves. They've followed their traditions. Again, not so with our Lord. No, we can assess Jesus by what Matthew has given us to know him. And he's revealed him time and time again to be the Son of God because his life reveals his heart. His life reveals to us a man who is humble, a man who's caring and compassionate, a man who served the weakest and most broken, and a man who loved not just in word, but in all that he did as well. To put that simply, the fruit reveals that the tree is good. Very, very good. And so in light of that, I might ask this morning, what do your words reveal about the deepest part of you? If you were to say that someone was to film your life for a good few weeks and then you were to watch it back in a Netflix special, what kind of drama would it be? What kind of show would you be flicking on? A humorous thought, maybe, maybe not. But this is the sort of thinking behind what Jesus is giving to us here. He gives us something in these verses by which we can truly examine ourselves. Our actions and our speech indicate what's really going on inside of us. It's the fruit of the tree, so to speak. So would you say that your life and actions reflect your a life that's been transformed, that's been graciously born again by the work of our Heavenly Father? Would you say that your words and actions towards those around you, even your enemies, has been seasoned with the love and the grace of God? It's amazing what we can learn about ourselves and others when we stand back and look at the fruit. Well, here that we learn that Jesus' fruit reveals a good and godly character. And the Pharisees' character, well, it was revealed by their fruit as well. And we see here in our text this morning that Jesus, he calls them on it, saying in verse 34, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Essentially, what Jesus is saying here is that the Pharisees are talking snakes in that they want to look good but reveal their slithering, slimy characters by their slanderous words. They might try their hardest to put on a good, godly persona out there in the world, but to the King of Kings, there was no pulling the wool over his eyes. Because their words reveal their hearts. Brothers and sisters, this truth still stands today. I think it's a warning to those in the church that deceive themselves. I mean, you might preach, you might write books, you might do missionary work, you might evangelize, play music, all the while having a heart that's deceived. That's the verdict that our Jesus pronounces on these men here. They were the religious elite of the day. They were the visible shepherds that Israel looked to, but Jesus, he calls them on their hypocrisy. He calls them on their actions as revealing their true characters, and that's because at the end of the day, they didn't really know God. They didn't really know his love or his grace or his mercy. And we see that in the way that they speak about Jesus, who is the revelation of God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, we saw it last week. They saw God operating in their very midst, casting out a vicious, tormenting demon. And instead of standing back and praising and glorifying God for this amazing work, they opposed Jesus to his face with slanderous speech, which revealed their hearts towards God. In one way, they worked so hard to keep up a public persona of godliness and piety, but their speech gave them away. Their speech exposed their hearts as being utterly darkened and hardened to the things of God. Church, this is a pretty terrifying passage if we think about what's going on here. I mean, we can work really hard to make the outside look so nice and shiny. But if we haven't been transformed by God's grace on the inside, it might not happen straight away, but there will be some area where the truth of the heart is exposed. And the warning here is that you might try really hard with the makeup and with the masks, but there will always be an area of our lives where the truth will break through and expose what's really going on. The Pharisees, they looked so good and shiny, but their darkened hearts manifested itself in blasphemy and slander, and it gave them away as men that didn't really know the God of Israel, who had sent his only begotten Son into this world to serve and to seek and to save the lost. Brilliant sermon done on this very passage was done by Augustine in the 5th century. And he says this: the words of men betray the secrets of their hearts. John Calvin, the great reformer, says the tongue is the mirror of the heart. If a man's words are evil, it's evidence that his heart is evil. All this to say, our words, our speech, it comes from the abundance of our hearts. It's the fruit, it's the language of the soul, we might say. And Jesus here, he points out a way for us to know what's going on in our hearts. And it's here that we see that even people who might go to church their whole lives can be utterly deceived about the very real state of their hearts. This is the thing, brothers and sisters. We're not going through this text this morning because, well, we're going through it because Jesus doesn't want us going the same way. Jesus doesn't want people to be self-deceived. No, this event, these words that have been inspired in Holy Scripture, is because Jesus wants us to stand back and really take a long, hard look at what is coming out of our mouths. So So we might think of this like a tool in which we can test ourselves somewhat. Granted, our speech doesn't ultimately make us righteous. We'll get to that in a moment. But it does, as we see here, reflect something that's going on deep down inside of us. And Jesus would have us reflect this morning on how we speak, because it tells us a lot about ourselves. As many of you know, I was a drummer before I became a pastor, and I got a chance to travel around quite a bit. And it always struck me that anywhere you went in the world, you could pick an Aussie accent with just a couple of words of them speaking. Be it in a crowd, at a sporting match, or at a party, as soon as you hear, "G'day, cobber," "Rightio," "Strike a light." I always felt that sense of familiarity and homeness. And I want you to think about this, because I never heard the Aussie accent and ever wondered where on earth that person was from. Now, when I heard the harsh Aussie lingo, which, by the way, stands out like a sore thumb in Europe, I knew exactly what part of the planet that person was from. And I think Jesus would have us think the same way about our speech. It informs us of which kingdom we belong to. A language that is continually and unapologetically slanderous, blasphemous, and hateful reveals that one doesn't really have a claim of having an accent that reflects a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So, church, who do you sound like? What is your speech full of? What is it flavored with? Our words are a language into the soul by which we get a gauge of what kingdom we belong to. Jesus then sort of revisits that first illustration here in our text of trees and fruit, but this time with storerooms, out of which people kind of bring things that have been stacked up in there. Saying in verse 35, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." See, what Jesus is getting at here is that each person's heart is like a storehouse in which we bring out the things that have been stored and kind of stacked up in there. I remember when Hayley and I moved to England, and in order for us to have all our things overseas, we had to put our entire lives, which was mainly my drum kits and awesome record collection, in a shipping container so that when we got to England, we wouldn't have to start from scratch. Now, not for a moment did we expect that when the shipping container arrived, that when we opened it, that there would be a car in there, that there would be a boat in there and a whole stack of cash just waiting for us to take out. And our Lord's point is this: you can't bring something out that isn't there in the first place. So when we bring forth good things that's pleasing to God, that's righteous in his sight, that's a great sign that God's grace is at work in one's heart. But when we continually bring forth things that are evil, well, it's either a sign that we're contradicting the work of the Holy Spirit in us, or that we're totally empty and void of spiritual goodness altogether. Church, the desire the want to do good, to praise God, to worship God, and to obey his commands, well, that's a wonderful indication of a spiritual work that is really going on in our hearts. But when our hearts are continually set on evil things, and our words are consistently tearing down and destroying and slandering and gossiping about others and irreverent towards God, will you be the judge? Our Lord is clear here. The storehouse, the shipping container, we can only bring out what's stacked up in there, which is to say our hearts can only bring out what's going on inside of us. And that's heard in the way that we speak and seen in the way we act. And Jesus would have us reflect on these things, not because our works ultimately save us, but they are key indicators to what's going on deep within our hearts. You see, the true children of God want to sound and act like their father. That's what children want to do. They want to be like their father. That's what we ought to long for. We ought to long to speak and act like the one we proclaim to follow with all that we are. And this can only happen because of God's grace towards us. It will come as no surprise to you, but one of the hardest things to tame is the tongue. It's like a sword that slashes and dashes and dices people to pieces. It's why we teach our children that nursery rhyme that you all remembered this morning. Well done. Because our words are powerful and they hurt. They cause great harm to others. But our words, they can also build up. They can rally the troops. They can inspire whole nations. I don't know if you've listened to Winston Churchill lately, but his stuff is inspiring. And the children of God ought to desire to lean in on the Holy Spirit's work in our lives to see the real transformation that he is doing in this area. And that's the thing, no one will see real transformation unless the Holy Spirit is truly present and at work in their lives. As he is the one, he is the agent that gives the new heart to deeply desire to want to obey our God with all that we are and to want to bring things out that are pleasing to our Father. And friends, that only happens when one believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, when one accepts his claims and receives him as the only savior of our souls. 16th century reformer Thomas Cranmer, he once put it like this: our words are a testimony of our repentance and faith in Christ. And all of this leads to verses 36 and 37, where our Lord says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus couldn't be any more clearer. Our words either condemn or acquit. Now, you might be here this morning and thinking to yourself, "But wait, I thought all I had to do was believe that Jesus was a real person at some point in history." Well, that's a good start. We do have to believe, but belief, as the Bible defines it, is to trust Christ implicitly with all that he claims to be and do for us. And what our Lord brings out here is that our words make manifest either a life defined by that grace and that truth, or a life that really hasn't surrendered at all. Friends, there will come a day when each and every single one of us, not just in this room, but on the face of the planet, will give an account for what we've said and done. And it's here that Jesus reminds us that our hearts will manifest a life that's either trusted and obeyed, or like the Pharisees, has been self-deceived and hypocritical. We don't like to think about this much in our day and age, but in light of the revelation of God as manifested in his Son, as revealed by the Holy Spirit of God, our words don't just disappear into the air, never to be thought of again. God takes note. And slanderous, grievous, evil words are displeasing to our God. So in thinking about all of what we've looked at this morning, what is the general and consistent tone of your speech? Is it gracious and loving and godly and edifying, or is your tongue like a cesspool that has the accent of darkness to it? Well, brothers and sisters, only you can sit back and judge yourself in the spiritual mirror this morning, but I do want to say a couple of things as we end in our text here. First, if you claim Jesus as Savior, then these words that we have heard this morning are the words of God, and they remind us that it's impossible, absolutely impossible, for any of us to walk perfectly before our God. Our tongue teaches us a few things, yes, but it also is the instrument in which we can confess our sin and ask him that by his grace he would forgive us and that he would strengthen us in this area, so that our speech would more and more and more reflect a life that has been truly transformed by the power of God in us. Second, if you're here this morning and you haven't called upon the name of the Lord, then you need to know that there's no amount of effort or works on your behalf to keep the reality of your heart condemning you in the end. The Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But this is the thing, dear friend. There is one who has been perfect, who has been holy, who has been pure, has been righteous, has the perfect fruit, has brought out the perfect things from the storehouse. And the Bible says that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Brothers and sisters, none of us are accepted because of our own storerooms and shipping containers. In other words, no one is accepted because of our own lives. No, it is only by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ truly being credited to us that we will ultimately be accepted. Do you believe that in your heart today? Do you confess that with your mouth today? If so, may our God give you the strength over your tongues and over your actions by continually changing and renovating and refining your heart, conforming you more and more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, these are potent words, but words that are from you, and your word is a double-edged sword. And we thank you for the words of eternal life that cause us to raise our eyes to the Lord Jesus and to confess him as our only way. Lord, this morning, as you have worked in and among us, by your word, we ask that by your Spirit we would confess with our mouths where we have fallen short. Confess where we trust the gospel. And believe in our hearts that as we go out into the world, that you are the one who is continually conforming us into the image of your Son. Lord, we ask that you would use us as a living sacrifice. This church, this community is a living sacrifice to be a light on the hill here in Armidale. We ask for these things in Jesus' name and for your sake. Amen.